Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The A-List Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the A-List Podcast. I'm Kwani Lunis. A'Sherrod Blakely is eating popcorn. Gary Washburn is just chilling right now. Welcome to a new week of the NBA. And of course, if you haven't heard already, unfortunately, the Celtics have broken their win streak. But I mean, it's nothing to be dramatic about. They're bound to lose one at some point. But let's just go over that game specifically. It was a pretty good game anyway. So they, other than a loss, of course, they were defeated by the Minnesota Timberwolves in overtime, 114-109. Anthony Edwards did what he had to do, 38 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. Tatum with 32-5. Everyone showed up, essentially. But what do you think went wrong for the Celtics in the end?
I mean, Gary, you got this.
I felt like they had their chances in this game. Just a game of runs. Minnesota, obviously, is a good club, okay? Better than I probably thought. I think they're better. The Timberwolves are better than I think people in the West are giving them credit for in the West. Like, they could be a top four team if they play really well. They play very good defense. I just felt the Celtics just didn't quite have that oomph. Like, they looked tired at times. And it's just, to me, it was like, it wasn't good. It was solid Tatum, but not great Tatum. It was okay Jaylen, but not great Jaylen. Jaylen a minus 16 in his time. Jrue Holiday was awful offensively. He missed, I mean, he, now you look, he was 12 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal. But he also was 4-for-16. He was 0-for-4 from the three. Like, if he has any type of decent offensive game, they win it. Porzingis 5-for-14, got pushed around. Obviously, facing somebody like a Rudy Gobert, who all practically his size, so he doesn't have the advantage there. And they made it tough on him, and he missed some makeable shots. So if the Celtics, they shot 39%, they missed a lot of threes. But I just felt like they just weren't at – they didn't play a crisp game. And then, to me, a lot of the Minnesota players, like, the problem I felt like the Celtics still have a bench problem. Like, 16 points from the bench, no points from Peyton Pritchard in 20 minutes. Sam Hauser was okay, 11 points in 24 minutes. I mean, Sam, there was a lot of Sam Hauser last night. I don't know why they didn't. Joe didn't play Brissett. He played Lamar Stevens for a hot minute. He played Svi for a hot minute, but he really went with the Hauser minutes. And I said, and Peyton has just got to start hitting shots. I mean, 0-for-3 from the field, 0-for-1 from 3-point line. You know, he had 6 boards, but to me, they just weren't crisp. And the key I felt like, and we could talk about Ant-Man Anthony Edwards. It was the other guys. Jaden McDaniels, 4 threes. And when you put so much pressure on the defense, when you're Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels has got to hit that open three. And he was 4-for-9. I thought that was key. Nickeil Alexander-Walker hit 2 threes. You know, Naz Reid came in with 14 points in 25 minutes. He helped them more in the first half. So I just thought their bench was better and their complementary players were better. Because remember, like, Karl-Anthony Towns only had 7 points. He was in foul trouble most of the night. you know, he didn't, he was not himself. Gobert was a plus 24 in his 40 minutes. So they, the Timberwolves won the minutes with Gobert on the floor pretty decisively. To me, that was the key, too. So you can blame the Celtics. Maybe, you know, they've had a lot of road games from the beginning. They've only had two home games. Maybe they're a little tired. Maybe they, and they're not going to get a break, so I don't know where they'll get this rest from. But they just didn't look crisp. And I said, if Drew Holiday plays, if he goes 8-for-16 instead of 4-for-16, they win this game. He missed a lot of bunnies. Tatum, 6 turnovers. Tatum was trying to do too much with the dribble. Jaylen Brown was, I said, he had his moments, the big dunk on Gobert in the first half and all that. But, you know, he missed some shots. Chris Stapps was in foul trouble. And, you know, and then, you know, 8 missed free throws, too. I mean, now Timberwolves missed 12, but, you know, 9 of those by Gobert. But 8 missed free throws by guys who should be knocking down free throws. So a lot of little reasons why they lost. But credit to Minnesota. They played a strong game. They never went away. And the Celtics couldn't put them away.
I'm actually, Gary, I came away more encouraged than I think a lot of people did after this game. And here's why. First and foremost, the Celtics, they began a game undermanned with no Derek White again. Second, as you clearly chronicled, pretty much everyone on the Celtic roster had an off night in some capacity. And they're doing this with what was just yet another in the long string of road games against the best defensive team in the NBA up to this point. And that team couldn't put them away until overtime. And it took Jaden McDaniels to have a game that's very atypical of what he does. He knocked down a lot of shots he normally doesn't knock down. Karl Anthony Towns did not have a good game. Anthony Edwards, you know, he may be the most under-the-radar superstar in our game. People know he's a good player. I think he's a star. I think he is at that level, and he still has room to grow. But so many things went against the Celtics. A number of things went for Minnesota, and yet there they were going overtime. And if you're the Celtics, there's a part of you that has to be encouraged by that because you're able to not have your A game and still be able to hold your own against pretty much any team. A year ago, the Celtics would have lost that game by 15. It wouldn't have went to overtime. They just would have simply, they would have turtled up and went in the shell and called it a day when things got tough and guys weren't making shots. But this team is built a little bit differently. Now, would they have won this game if they had Derek White? Probably. But the flip side, Minnesota would have still won if Karl Anthony Towns went better. You never know. It's neither here nor there. But I was encouraged by the way that they simply didn't succumb to a rough night. Tatum, I thought, again, there were stretches where I thought he disappeared, and not because he wasn't looking for the ball. They simply weren't getting him the rock. And you just can't do that when your best player, it can be that dominant. Jaylen didn't have a great game, obviously. Sam Hauser was the only spark that they have off the bench. We'll talk more about them a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is the Celtics, they gave themselves a chance to win in a game where I did not think that anyone played well enough to where they should have been in the game. And yet there they were. So that, for me, is the silver lining in this loss. And I'm curious to see how they're going to bounce back. Because to me, it's the loss itself doesn't define them. It's how do they respond to it? And that we'll find out soon enough. But like I said, I wasn't nearly as like pissed off and upset about this loss as I think some fans might have been.
And Philly's a good metric marker for whether or not they will bounce back. Also, if you guys are watching, apologies, my light just died in the middle and I'm trying to fix it. Oh, okay, it works. Never mind. Corny it died. And I was like, I kept flickering. So I was like, let me not do that because it's really distracting on your answer.
I was pretending that wasn't happening. When I think, like, man, Gary, can we
get a GoFundMe? I wasn't still addressing because I'm like, why was she just sitting in the dark?
We need to go GoFundMe to get that light bill paid, Kwani. Is that what you said?
Please. My Venmo is Kwani A. Lunis. Cash App, also Kwani A. Lunis. Put in the memo that it's for my ring light, and I will make sure you get a shout out.
So, Gary, she's low-key hitting Gary. Give me a ring light for Christmas.
No, it works now. Yes, actually, y'all could get me one. It's working now, though, so I don't know what happened, but we're good.
Gary, big bucks, make sure about.
Nah, it's a co-host. That's the reason. We should do a Secret Santa. Well, we can't do Secret Santa. We should do a gift swap.
I got you.
Okay. Going back to Celtics, though, you kind of alluded to this, Sherrod, but it sounds like, and Gary, you can chime in if you agree, you guys aren't as, this isn't a big deal. This is not necessarily something that Celtics fans should be panicking about. I understand it's fun to be like the only undefeated team at the beginning of the season, but it's one game. To your point, Sherrod, one game. And then again, Philly, I think, should be, like you said, the test of whether or not this is going to be a pattern.
Go ahead.
No, I just feel like there's little things to look out for. One is the bench. Like, I'm just still concerned about the bench.
Yeah.
I think Pritchard, you know, he still keeps getting open shots. He still keeps missing them. He played 20 minutes against Minnesota. He didn't score. You know, they need more lift from the bench. Mm. Because there's going to be nights where, like, if you look at their quote-unquote big four, like, Tatum had his moments and Brown had his moments, but neither of them were good. Very good, right? You know, although they could have won the game. If Jalen hits that three at the buzzer in the last seconds of regulation, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, they're 6-0, what a team. They pull out a gutty win at Minnesota or whatever. So it's a thin line, but I think there's little things to watch out for. Two, the too much ISO ball I saw down the stretch. Guys not sharing the ball and you know, guys trying to do too much. And I think Jason got caught up in the, like, okay, Anthony, you know, you making your crowd go crazy with these moves. I'm about to go at you and do it too. And it was just like, no, Jason, that's not you. Like, do it in the flow of the game. Do not try to go one-on-one, mano-a-mano. Because basically, if you look at it, Edwards was all Minnesota had. McDaniels, to me, and I just looked this up, like, McDaniels had taken, he was 4-for-9 from three last night. So I can't blame the Celtics for this. Prior to that, he played in three games. He had taken 6 total threes. He was 3-for-6. Like, he just came, he scored 20 points. He had scored 23 points in the previous three games he had played this season. He has scored 5 points in his previous game against Utah. So, like, this kind of came out of the blue. Like, this was a season best by far game for Jaden McDaniels. But you're also leaving him wide open because you're focused so much on Edwards. I think they've got to improve a little bit defensively sometimes in that sense, make it tough for guys like Edwards for those wing scores. But, you know, I don't think it's like, oh, it's a reason for, oh boy, here we go. But little things you can see creep up in the bench. And it's great when you're at home and you're playing Indiana and you're beating them by 50 to hit a bunch of threes late. But I just haven't seen, I said, Pritchard is struggling. Hauser's doing okay. And, you know, Joe's kind of mixing the minutes. Like, I'd like to see O'Shea Brissett get consistent minutes per game. I think he's a guy you should play every game. I don't know. Banton, you know, Stevens got a little cup of coffee, and so does Fee, but, like, you got to – and then they're really going to the Cornette minutes. I mean, if I look at the box score, my man Luke Cornette played 15 minutes and got 1 rebound.
Amazing.
He scored 5 points and he was 3-for-4 for the free throw line. But he played 15 minutes as a 7-footer and got 1 rebound. Like, that can't happen. Question.
Thanks, Gary.
What do you, Sherrod?
Back to you.
Here's the thing about this game. To Gary's point, some of the things that got exposed, I don't think you're going to see on a stat sheet that are going to jump out at you. For example, I thought this game made a lot of my concerns about Porzingis defensively come to life. He had trouble with size and athleticism. When he got switched out and had to deal with some of those wings, you know, barbecue chicken, that was him. They were finger licking him up and down when they got that matchup, went at him with the quickness and just absolutely barbecued him. And Cat, you know, the one thing he did do a good job was he was able to to get Cat to commit some silly fouls. But the Russian team was just like, all right, Cat, we're not going to have you, but we're still going to take this rule out. We got this. And that's, you know, Luke, Kristaps, they both have that issue defensively. And Al just doesn't, I think, have the ability to play extended stretches out there defensively. So that's what the catch 22. You need to figure out a way to kind of close that gap and get some youth athleticism and just energy in that front court. And Gary's point, you know, O'Shea Brissett, that's literally the one thing that he's been able to do every time he's played. He's been able to provide a boost of energy. And I'm not really sure whether Joe's trying to see what other guys can do, because he kind of has an idea what O'Shea can do. But it was little things throughout this game that just reminded me of why that this team, as good as they are, as talented as they are, and as more likely than not, they're going to go deep into the playoffs. There's still things they need to shore up in order to make it so that as they advance throughout the season, that they don't have like the major slip ups that could potentially derail what has been, what should be an otherwise awesome season.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and so much more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts, hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame money line wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com, gamblinghelplinema.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start, gamesensema.com, or call 1-800-GAM-1234. Really good point. All right, moving on. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that Jason Tatum became the youngest Celtic to hit 10K career points.
He did that, what, by the time he was 19?
Only 19 years old. But what do you think that says about the future of him, not only in the NBA, but in Boston?
I mean, he's been cracking the youngest to do this, that, and the other ever since he's been in Boston. And part of that has to do with the fact, I think we have to be mindful of the fact that, you know, the Celtics are like any other longstanding organization. When Cats came into the league back in the 50s and 60s, they were 21, 22 years old. So they were all basically they were where Jason's at in like year four. So for him to break a lot of those records, it makes sense. But to me, what sets Jason apart from a lot of guys is he wants to play every game. And he ain't trying to do load management. And when you're able to do that, when you're able to stay healthy, when you're doing things to physically improve your body and your sustainability and your durability year after year after year, you're going to be in the mix to be a 20-year veteran. I think Tatum is in that era where we're going to see these guys playing right now for another decade and some change. They ain't going nowhere. Health-wise, they've got the greatest advancements in science to help them stay healthy, and their mentality and the way they're built and how they condition their bodies and the fuel that they put into their bodies. They're built differently in a way that allows them to sustain a high level of play for longer stretches. And so, Jason, I mean, it would not be surprising to me if Tatum continues to ascend and crack and be one of the top four, top five all-time scorers in the NBA. Would not shock me at all. And Jaylen Brown, when you look at his game, wouldn't be surprised if he winds up being in the top 20, top 25 all-time. If you're putting up 20, 25 points a night the way he does, and you don't have the pressure of being the man, you can do that. So it doesn't really surprise me that Tatum's been able to continue to just check off one box after the other on the youngest to do this, the first to do that. It's going to be like that until he's an old-ass man, until he's a whopping old 30-year-old, which is crazy because when he's 30 years old, he still has like another decade potentially in the league. After already been in the league a decade. I mean, LeBron, I think, is a template that all players, when you talk about longevity, want to strive to be. I mean, LeBron has been, you know, at the top of the mountaintop pretty much 21 years. He's been there for maybe, what, 18, 19, and maybe 1 or 2 years where he wasn't on that in that Mount Rushmore of guys in the league currently. Mm-hmm. And Tatum, you know, I think is one of those guys following suit. We saw Anthony Edwards, who I think is going to be a guy that will be in the MVP conversation multiple times before all said and done. He may very well wind up being the greatest Timberwolves player, not named Kevin Garnett. He's that good. Cause Kat has clearly become comfortable being that other dude. He went from being the main person to the side person.
I'll see it. To the side chick.
See, I wasn't gonna see no Garrett. See that? Yeah. You see that? So I'm trying to be nice, Gary.
Wow.
I'm trying to be nice.
Going back to Tatum, Kwani, dropping the topic of side chicks.
Transition.
and jump offs. Anyway, I think it's a good accomplishment, something that I'm sure it's just the first step. And just you understand in an era of scoring how tough it is. I mean, 10,000 points is a lot, but LeBron almost got 40. LeBron's going to get 40,000. So, I mean, Jason got a long way to go. And you look at guys like, you know, the great Larry Bird. Like, I looked up and Jason got his 10,000 points, and we're talking about with the three-point shot, in 444 games. Larry Bird got 10,000 points in 436 games without the services of many three-point shots. You know, he might have hit 100 in those 5 years, or maybe 150. I had to look that up. But he did not have a lot of three-point shots.
Shorter, too.
Huh?
And their schedules were shorter.
No, we're still 82 games.
Really?
Yeah, for real.
Okay.
For real,
look, I don't know why I thought the season was shorter. The more you know, okay?
You know somebody don't believe you when they ask you for real. For real? No, for fake.
Let me just see what he really meant.
Right.
It was the same 82-game schedule.
Okay.
And Bird was older, obviously, than Magic. He was like 23 when he got to the league. Mm-hmm. But he did in 436 games. So gives you, and you look at a guy like Havlicek, the all-time leading scorer for the Celtics, 27,000 points, and he never hit a three. Havlicek retired before the three-point shot was allowed him to the NBA. He retired after the 1977-78 season, and the three-pointer was not into the league until 79-80. So it just get more appreciation for the all-time greats of the franchise. But still, Tatum is now, at just age 25, the 14th all-time leading scorer in franchise history. He's going to pass Antoine Walker sometime this season. So his greatness in the Celtics is already being set. He just has to, quite honestly,
win a championship,
stay healthy, and he can retire and be one of the all-time greats. And obviously, nobody is going to wear number zero again and all that. He knows that. And he knows that there's a lot of things on his shoulders to deal with. But I think he's handled it well. And I also thought it was interesting, the two things that stood out to me this week about Jason Tatum. One, making a surprise appearance at Children's Hospital in Boston on Halloween for the kids. He didn't have to do that. That was not the team. And secondly, showing up to New Mission High School.
Yeah.
That was not the team either. Neither
that
of the
video was beautiful too, though. To watch how the kids just like
ran up on him and hugged him, and he walks in like this, security. Like, and yeah. that was not the Celtics saying, "Come on, Jason, can you?" Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, some of these guys are busy and they cherish their time, and so some guys are easier than others to get to do stuff like that for the community.
Like
but
Grant.
The fact that Jason is embracing the Boston community, yeah, shout out to Grant. Because Grant did it without even being asked. Some of these guys are just amazing with the community. But to see Jason understand that he is pivotal in his community, like people look up to him now. You know, even as Kwani would say, the Cape Verdean community looks up
culturally, this city really, like, even just walking on a regular day in Boston, you're going to see a seven jersey, you're going to see a zero jersey. Like, no matter where you are, there's always someone that's showing pride, because people really take pride in these players, and stuff like that is what really solidifies them being accepted by the city as well.
let's also think, I think that, you know, and Jalen dedicating the court to Kobe Bryant and Gigi Bryant at the Boys and Girls Club of Roxbury a couple weeks ago, that was kind of on his own. I mean, you know, like he went there and made an appearance after a practice. So,
people felt some way about that. What do you like?
Because he's a Laker? Like, come on.
I think Twitter with a grain of salt, but I was genuinely curious as to, is that a worthy argument? Like, I get it.
Like, people need to let that. This is Kobe. Come on.
But humanity is more than rivalry.
I mean, that's just a beautiful court.
Yeah.
Kids can play. It was drawn beautifully, designed beautifully. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're doing that, and the fact that Jason is embracing his community, people that look up to him, people who are not from, you know, the rich areas, even the people, the kids from the hood, regardless of what nationality they are, white, black, green, Cape Verdean, Haitian, whatever, Dominican. I feel like Tri-Called Quest song right now.
Jamaican.
Anybody from those underrepresented communities who look up to him, who will never be 6'10", 6'9", but can still be winners, you know, in their life. And for him to say, hey, listen to your teachers, you don't have to be the NBA player, you can be a winner, whatever you want to do. And I just think that means a lot. You know, you grow up and you say, oh my God, like such and such came to my school one day. I mean, I can remember athletes when I was sixth grade, Rosie Greer, that's a long time ago, came to my school. The Rams, he was a lineman for the Rams. He came to my school. And I remember that I was 11 years old, 10 years old. Like you remember those things, that's a long time ago, Kwani. That was before 93.
All right.
That was before 93. but come to your school, you remember that. And you remember what they did. You remember them shaking your hand or just putting their arm around and taking pictures or hanging around and shooting baskets or whatever. People don't understand how impactful that is. So even in 10,000 points, I just think this was a pretty amazing week for Jason Tatum. The Children's Hospital thing I thought was really meaningful also. I mean, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, Halloween and just to visit the kids. But it's also to show up to a school and just be like, hey, and believe me, I talked to the Celtics. They had nothing to do with that. That was him and his people or whatever. That was his decision to do that. It was not like the team nudging him, hey, we need to be there for 30 minutes and we got the town car, we got the, you know, SUV waiting for you. We can just escort you right on out and you can go, you know, it's just 30 minutes to show up and wave a hand and get the hell out of here. No, it was meaningful. So I think it was a really impactful week for Jason Tatum and it's good to see him embrace the city like he has, because it is getting to be his city. As I wrote, the Patriots are down. The Red Sox are rebuilding. There's no superstars here. I mean, you could Marchand, you could say some of the Boston Bruins or whatever. You say Rafael Devers. You know, you could say some standout athletes, but, you know, it's Tatum's town, Tatum and Brown. I mean, especially if they get a chip, it's their town.
Tatum's town, and Brown.
Yeah, even building up to that, though, Gary, I mean, I'd say it's already their town, because one of the things about greatness is that there's greatness among your peers in your city, and there's greatness among the league that you play in. And Tatum's a top five guy. There is not another player in this city on any pro team that we can say they're in the top five in that league right now. So Tatum has already asserted himself, in my eyes, as the face of this region. He's that good. You, when you flip on a commercial, you watch, you know, an NBA commercial, high probability, if they got more than five guys, I mean, Tatum's going to be one of them. I don't think that's happened with NHL. That ain't happened with no baseball. And the Patriots, come on now. Good.
They need not be talked about right now.
Exactly. So it's there. But the thing that, and we know this all too well, when you win a chip in this town, it ain't like winning a championship anywhere else. You become like, you know, really? That you're almost, you become almost like a an athletic god at that point. Right now, you are playing amongst the greatest of your time and your generation, but you win a chip in Boston, you become an athletic god. And Tatum is as poised as any athlete to be that, not only because of the team that he plays for, but because of his game. His game is that good. I mean, dude can just literally roll out of bed and get you 25-4-4 without brushing the teeth, combing the hair, checking in on Deuce. He ain't even got to do all that. He can go and get you 25-4 and then do that other stuff. He's that good right now. He just got to win a chip. That's all. That's literally the only thing that's left on his mantle that needs something to go there is a chip.
I really appreciate this conversation, though, because I remember earlier on when he was drafted, and over the years, people, generally speaking, when a player gets drafted to a specific city, there's this expectation that they're supposed to automatically be on board with that city. They're supposed to disavow where they came from. Like, he would wear his St. Louis snapback, and I'm sure he will continue to wear that.
He will continue to do that.
Of where he's from. Same with Jalen and repping Atlanta. But to your point, going to New Mission High School, the mayor of Boston, Mary Michelle Wu, was there to introduce him as well. So really embedding themselves into the city. Again, they don't have to. It's not really put in their contract necessarily, but I think they understand this is a city where it's somewhat expected. It, like you said, it's you didn't sign up for it, but when you're in a city like Boston, people are proud of their sports teams. They're proud of their athletes. They're proud of being from here. They want you to know that. They want to know that you are actually proud of being where you are as well, even if you're not from the city as well. So I think the two of them are definitely on the right track.
Well, I think they also benefit from experience and wisdom of seeing what happens when you don't do that.
That too.
Kyrie Irving, first name that comes to mind. And then you start looking at some, you know, just some of the other guys that kind of came through that had really good runs, but they didn't really kind of ingratiate themselves into the city the way you would ideally want your best player to do. And they learn from that. They realize that I can't do that. One, it's not good for the brand. If you keep it in 100, it's just not good for your brand to be disconnected with your community. And two, and maybe most important, it's just the right thing to do. I mean, at the end of the day, it's as simple as doing the right thing. Sometimes we try to complicate these conversations and these type of, you know, moments and make them out more than what they are. At the absolute essence, it's just doing the right thing.
Look at Marcus Smart. He's at a point where this fan base considers him one of their greats, and that's not necessarily what he did on the floor. Heart and soul of the team, what he did in the community. I think he's gotten his flowers for it. But he did a lot in the city of Boston. I can tell he's already trying to figure out what he can do in Memphis as well. But people in the city of Boston know they can see Marcus, they can access him, they can go to an event and know that he's really gonna find a way to reach out to that community as well.
Wouldn't be surprised if once he's done playing, he finds a way to be back in that front office working with Brad in some capacity or whoever's running the team. And no one will be tripping about that. No one will be like, oh, man, he went to Memphis. He didn't go to Memphis. He was traded to Memphis.
He was traded, right.
Marcus, check you on that. Get it right. I was traded.
Wait a minute. Gary, you're going to say something?
Well, I think none of us are from Boston, but I think us all living there. Boston is
self-aware about that. We're very self-aware.
Boston is a big city, small city kind of mentality where, like, if you're from L.A., like, people in L.A. aren't saying, oh, you don't represent L.A. You don't come, like, L.A.'s so big that there's so many people repping it. There's so many, like, it's such a, but Boston wants people who are not from Boston to like Boston, right? People from Boston want you to say, you know, this is a cool place. Like, I understand why people live here. They want to feel accepted. They want to feel like you enjoy their city. Because and you can make it your own.
Because they're proud of it. Because they're very proud.
There's a very civic pride. In other big cities, that it might not be so much. Where New York, like it's New York. You best like this, or you whack. So you know, or L.A. like that, like
Jersey.
Yeah. We got so much here that if you don't like it, there's something wrong with you. But Boston always kind of has maybe an insecurity of like, you like this place, right? You're good here, right? you're not going to just leave us, right? Like, I just think there's kind of an insecurity. And I think that might go back to where how Bill Russell felt he was treated in this city. And then, you know, and the lack of free agents the Celtics were able to bring, because you don't want to play there, you know, Boston crazy, you brought, you know, all these things were happening to D. Brown, and I don't hate to bring up all this stuff, but that kind of burned.
From an athletic standpoint, like players coming to Boston.
Yeah, they burned kind of a bad record. They burned, you know, something kind of a, left a scar in the city. Mm. And the fact that now, starting with Garnett and Allen coming here and saying, I love this place. And Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Morris and all these guys, Jay Crowder, who loved playing in Boston. So for a guy who was homegrown, 19 years old, St. Louis through and through, to say, hey, I love it here. This is my city. My son was born here. I got a house here. And the same with Jalen. Like Jalen's, you know, there's been all, you know, questions about, well, Jalen don't like it here. And I don't think Jalen's crazy about some of the issues of the city and the economic disparity. Like, it's okay to love where you at, but not like all of what's going on.
And I just know that it can be better. Like, family. Yes,
I think it's okay to do that.
But you gotta fix it.
It's okay not to like some of the things in your city. I'm born in LA, raised in LA. I didn't like everything about my hometown. I didn't like the violence. I didn't like some of the things. Like, I can honestly say that. I don't think I'm betraying my city, my hometown, by saying there's some things about it I don't like, I wish was better. And I think that's what Jalen has told me over the years. Like, just because I call things out does not mean I hate it here or I want to get out of here. It means I want to make it better and I want the people who are underrepresented to live better here and to have a part of it. And I just think that's what the important part of this whole thing is with Jason, is just people who are underrepresented, people of color, people who live in, like, having more of a say and more of a impact of what's going on, more people at games, you know, more people getting a piece of the pie, because Boston's a great place to live if you have the money. Now, if you don't, it could be hard. And I think that's for every city. But I think that the athletes contributing to the community and going to places where they don't get seen much, or, hey, it's kind of rough around here or whatever, but knowing, like, man, I'm good. Like, anybody gonna come up to me? Like, you know, these are my people. Being a person of the people, I think really kind of makes you kind of a, you know, the city will embrace that. And I just think the community will embrace that. I think, you know, you kind of saying that Jalen and Jason have been embraced by the Haitian and Cape Verdean community is kind of funny, but it's interesting, yeah. You know? That people, they want someone to claim. They want someone to be like, hey, I'm with you. I'm a man of the people. And I just think in his own way, AS25, Jason's trying to do that. And Jalen, with the economic work he's doing, is trying to do that. So I think that's amazing, because I don't see that many places in many cities. I see other cities and markets trying to do that. But, you know, I don't see that around Boston as much as probably, well, we should see it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Very well said. This was a great conversation, but we have to move on eventually. We'll get back to this eventually, I'm sure. But let's talk quickly about the in-season tournament. The first game for the Celtics is on Friday. They'll be playing the Nets. What are your thoughts about this in-season tournament that people are still trying to figure out what it is in some ways? But how do you think this will also play out for Celtics fans?
I just want to see the damn court.
I do not want to see the court.
I want to see the court. I want to see the reaction to the court, because the thing about Celtics fans, and y'all both know this, they're very traditional when it comes to
that parquet.
So that there's that. But I like the fact that that the players, I think, are going to be a little bit more focused and motivated in season than previously. But it's not, I think, a big issue with the Celtics as it is with some other teams, because you look at the guys that the Celtics who make up their core, they're not even about that load management life per se. They do it like Al Horford does it because they tell him to. It's not like Al went and said, I need to be load manager. I want to be load manager. I'm cool with that. He's not really all that cool with it. He does it because it's a way to preserve him for the length of the season. But you go to L.A. and the Clippers, load management is, I mean, that's like the first thing they get when they walk through the damn door in the morning is this load management program. Kawhi Leonard, we got one for you. Paul George, yep, we got one for you. James Harden, you coming? Yep, we got one for you too, buddy. That's where this in-season tournament, I think, to me, it's the superpower of the tournament. It forces teams to be a little bit more intentional on not doing that. It makes it so that the fans actually can shell out $300-$500 and actually see the player that they came to see. I can't tell you how many times that I have heard from people who, you know, either email or text or something like saying, yo, I went to go see player X play. Don't you know that fool was at back at home in San Antonio? That fool was back at home in Chicago just chilling. And I'm in this damn city, spent $500, got my bae all. She all upset. Like, why are you upset at the game, honey? Just, dude, I came to see, ain't here. That happens so often. And the NBA understands that if you're not careful, you are going to turn away the cash cow that keeps you moving, that keeps the train moving. And so to me, the instant determined that to me is it's going to be its greatest accomplishment, forcing team to actually play the guys consistently that fans want to see.
Yeah. Good job, Sharon.
What do I say?
That was passionate. To me, I'm just interested to see how this all goes in terms of the competition and whether the fans will get into it. I think the whole, like, trying to be like European soccer, I think there's a kind of resentment from players and from people around the league saying, like, why isn't what we do good enough? Why do we got to be like Arsenal, or why do we got to be like European soccer? Why do we have to be in, this is a great sport, doing great things. The sport's never been more popular. The players have never made more money. This is not like 10, 12 years ago where the Spurs and some of these small market teams are claiming poverty and saying we can't pay our players and we're going to put, everything is worked out. Everybody making money. Like, when a player makes $18 million, that's a tradable, easy contract. Like, to me, like, back then, that was a lot of money. Now players are making $30 million. Like, hey, no, like, Jeremy Grant makes $30 million a year. He's the 73rd or 55th best player in the league, NBA. Like, there's, you know what I'm saying? Jeremy Grant has no shot of making an, yeah, Syracuse. He has no shot of making an all-star team. None. And he's making $30 million a year. He's making $30 million a year. Fred Van Vliet is making $40 million a year. So I think that there's a level of resentment from the players of, like, why isn't what we do good enough? But it's also some innovative thinking from Adam Silver to saying, like, I'd like to get some more interest in the NBA in December, where right now people are kind of, you know, real hoop fans are excited that the season's here, but people are still doing, it's Tuesday. People ain't tripping about NBA. They're like, okay, I gotta make changes to my fantasy lineup. I gotta set up my fantasy lineup for next week. I gotta claim this player off waivers. It's an NFL time. It's the college football time. People, you know, people, what's going to go on in Michigan? What's going to go on? Who's going to go to the play? Like, there's all these other things, interests. So basketball is kind of being not forgotten about, but people are like, I'll get to basketball like in January.
Even like Christmas game. Yeah.
I'll start really watching NBA in the Christmas, because that's really, really matters, right? Yep. It don't really start before then. So I think the NBA is trying to say, hey, we want to compete with the NFL, the championship game's on the 9th. That's NFL weekend. That's the day of the Army-Navy game. That's the day of the Heisman Trophy presentation. Like, that's where other sports have taken control. This NBA is like, no, we want an earlier part of December. So I'm fascinated to see whether the fans will be interested, whether the players will be interested, whether it gets really intense once we get to the quarterfinals and that type of thing. I think Friday's game against Brooklyn will be hotly contested, because the Celtics just beat Brooklyn last week. Brooklyn should be pretty much healthy. They're going to look for revenge. So it's going to be a tough game. So to me, I mean, the Celtics should win, but I just think it's going to be a hotly contested game simply because it's two division rivals going at it for the second time in a week. So, but I'm fascinated to see, and I think the players will adapt to it. Like, we adapt to everything. People didn't like the play-in tournament. That suddenly became wildly popular. So I think it'll work out.
Looking ahead, the next four games, you already mentioned it. Brooklyn's on Friday, but Philly is on Wednesday night. You're probably listening before that game. Toronto is on November 11th, and then New York is the 13th. Is there any game particularly that you have circled? You kind of alluded to it, but which one? But honestly, between Philly and Brooklyn, which one would you circle the most?
Philly. They're off to a better start than a lot of people thought, and they've got some interesting pieces. And now that the Harden cloud has moved on, let's see what this team can do when they don't have that hanging over them. Are they able to just play and continue to get better and things of that nature, or are we going to see moments where a James Harden would have helped them in this area, or James? And so I'm curious to see what they look like now that that is no longer an issue.
Yeah, Philly too. That's going to be, you know, and the guy I said the Celtics should go after, Kelly Oubre, is balling for the Sixers. They got our friend Marcus Morris there now, Nicholas Batum. They got, you know, they got a good return off Harden. They didn't get a game-changing player. They didn't get an all-star, but they got a guys who can help, and they already got enough talent with NB, with Maxi, with, you know, Tobias Harris, you know, so they got players. So this is not like Philly is now a factor in the East. Like, let's not, they're 5-1. I think people, who's only the Celtics or the Bucks? The Bucks might not be as good as we think, but Philly was going to be better, I think, than we think. So Philly could make this a trio here. And then it'll be interesting to see how the Celtics respond Monday against the Knicks. You know, the Knicks will be coming back. The Knicks are, you know, a little off to a little slow start, 3-4. But then you see the entire division in basically 3 days, 4 days, Philly, Toronto, Brooklyn, and New York. You see who you're competing with in your division. Toronto's kind of an up-and-down team. They've had some really good moments. They've had some not-so-good moments. You know, new coach, new staff there. We'll see what happens there. But Philly's an interesting game because Philly got dudes now. Like you said, Sherrod, Harden is no longer hovering over them. They got Oubre. They got Maxey, who's had a great season so far. Embiid just coming off 48-piece against Washington. They're ready, and once they get some chemistry, they're going to be a serious threat. So this could be an Eastern Conference Finals preview.
Yeah, scoping out the competition. That's all we have for this week's episode of the A-List Podcast. If you haven't already, because at this point you got to the end of the episode, you should already be subscribed either on YouTube or your favorite podcasting app. Please do so and share with a fan or a friend, someone that likes the Celtics, whatever, basketball. But until we talk next week, for A'Shaun Blakely and Gary Washburn, I'm Kwani Lunis. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
FanDuel is the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bet. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. Ever wish you could navigate the betting field with the confidence of a pro? Enter Odds Are. They're not a sports book, but they're the sports betting advisor you always needed. It's like having a playbook for smarter bets right in your pocket. I've been absolutely loving the experience, and I think you will too, especially since Celtics All Access listeners get a 30-day free trial. Elevate your game day and join the smart betting revolution. Go get it at oddsr.com/Celtics. That's oddsr.com/Celtics.